Radio.
Presents a Plog Radio Show.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Another great show, I should say. We've got author Michael Shebak with us. He's the author of many books, but we're going to be talking about two in particular tonight, and we'll touch on his other ones. We're going to be talking about The Six Fix and Soul Lessons from The Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road. And Michael is not only an author, he's a rabbi as well. So welcome to the show, everybody, Michael Shebak. Michael, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining me on Applause Radio Show. Oh, hold on, Michael.
I really appreciate it.
Oh, there you are. I didn't push your button to hear you speak. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was looking at your email.
That's all right.
Email.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. And we were just talking before the show, and Michael's on the East Coast. He's a stone's throw away from me. So this is wonderful. So, Michael, I mean, you're a rabbi as well. When did you start writing these books? I mean, obviously, being a rabbi, you're into spiritual healing or spirituality. So when was the book situation starting?
Well,
when you started writing?
I actually began with writing.
Oh.
I bombed out of medical school. I didn't continue that. And then I wandered around not knowing what I wanted to do. And I started to write a children's book. And I realized, oh, my God, I could write. And then I wound up, strangely, I entered Madison Avenue. I became a creative director and a copywriter. I wrote Gillette, the Best a Man Can Get, a lot of famous ad campaigns for Apple computers.
Yeah.
And then, but during the whole thing of writing, I had always been involved with deep spiritual seeking and self-reflections. You know, I had participated in yoga and meditation since I was 17 years old, before it was even popular. And then one day, when I was in the 10th year as a copywriter, I got fired from a position, and it led to a miracle, actually, where I met my Rebbe, or my rabbi, who, it was a very strange thing. He was Italian. He was born in Italy. He was educated in New Orleans, Louisiana. He had just come back from Dallas, Texas. And strangely, my wife is Italian. She was born and educated in New Orleans, Louisiana, and her son, from her first marriage, had just come back from Dallas. So you can't write this if you don't believe in God. You'd better have a dumber idea. So it turns out that I met my rabbi, and I started to collaborate with him on two books, and it led to the fact that he had chosen me to be his student. And it led to my ordination 7 years later.
Wow.
So that's
what happened.
It was a very strange thing.
Yeah. Well, isn't it funny how life is, right? Now, what books did you write with him?
Life is. I wrote a book that Ligori published called Stupid Ways, Smart Ways to Think About God, and another book that was published by New City Press called Our Age, the Historic New Era of Christian Jewish Understanding. The late John Cardinal O'Connor from the Archdiocese of New York. I don't know if you remember.
And he wrote
the foreword to the book. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and the rest, you know, I did Marriage Secrets from the Garden of Eden, a book in Italy, and many other books. I just keep, you know, writing is me.
Right. Well, you found your passion, and it's just following you and taking you places that you never thought it would, right? I mean, so
and
now...
I never expected that my subject matter would be spirituality and religion. That was a surprise. Never expected it. Never foresaw it. It was just a miracle in my life.
Right, right. Now, and again, you have the similarities in your life with your wife as your rabbi did as well. How crazy is that? That's really weird.
It is. Well, you know, it's like the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam and Eve come from one other Adam that was split into two. So really, the mystery of my life was written on my wife's life.
That
is very
crazy.
Mystical and very miraculous, but I think it tells you something about the nature of really true deep marriages.
Right,
a
right.
Piece
now,
of you is written on the other person.
Right, exactly, and you both feed off of each other in life in general. Not, you know, it's just each one enhances the other, so it's crazy. But
exactly.
I wanted to ask you now both books that you have out now, The Six Fix and The Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz: How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road. Did you write them the same time? I mean, how did you put two books out at the
same
time?
Actually, it's very, very funny. They came out at the same time. But the Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, believe it or not, I had had sitting on my computer for 12 years. It was just sitting there. And one day I had a student who had a problem. And he was having a difficulty in his life, and he didn't know how to frame it. And what he was going through was so identical to Dorothy in the story of the Wizard of Oz, which is really for both women and men. I mean, there are no ruby slippers on the cover. There's only red Converse sneakers. And I pulled the book off of my computer and gave it to him. I said, I wrote this many years ago. And he read it, and it changed his life and said, okay, that's it. So then I started to seek publishing on it. It was, you know, it was one of those things that was in my heart, and I understood it many years ago, but I never did anything with it. The Six Fix is very, very recent. That's a new concept.
Based on the concept of Six Fix, I'd have to say that's very, very new. I mean, with everything going on.
Yeah, it is. So they're both published, but one is newly authored.
Right, right. Tell us about the Wizard of Oz, the comparisons to the Wizard of Oz in people's lives.
Well, the book is Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz and How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road. And it hit me many, many years ago that the story of the Wizard of Oz was not just a simple fairy tale, that it had deep, deep meaning. And the meaning just one day hit me like a thud on the, you know, like Dorothy's farmhouse hitting Oz. And, you know, whenever we start out in life, we're all born into a kind of Kansas, you know, with apologies, by the way, to the people in that fair state. You know, Kansas is we're born into our ordinary human material life. It's black. It's white. Everything's black, white, or gray. It's this or that. Don't do this. Do that. This is the way. Don't do this. This is right. This is wrong. And we get corralled, just like Dorothy in the barnyard.
Right.
We get corralled and penned in, and we fall into the pigsty because we're living in a very ordered, structured, judgmental structure thing that our family provides for us basically to keep our bodies alive. But there comes a time in every person's life, and I'm sure, Joanne, that you've experienced it because you're human, where you have to kind of separate from that, and you have to go on your own and begin to find your own identity.
Yes.
And that's what the story is, and Dorothy does that with great pain and a lot of guilt. She bolts from the barnyard and sets off to find something better, something somewhere over the rainbow. You know, and she's making us what from a spiritual point of view. And I've taught spirituality at the State University of New York. She is making a spiritual leap in faith. She's going from the Kansas state of consciousness, which is your basic human material consciousness, to a more spiritual consciousness, which is the Oz state of consciousness.
Right.
And that requires her to grow. She has to grow as a soul. And it's curious because the word Dorothy, the name Dorothy in the Greek, means a gift of God. And we all have a little gift of God, a spirit or a soul on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So the yellow brick road that she goes on is a spiritual path. And we all have to face our own self-judgments. You know, we've all done things that we blame ourselves and we think we're stupid like a scarecrow and doesn't have a mind.
Right.
And we pick at ourselves like crows in the field, picking scarecrow and shredding ourselves like the crows do, because we don't treat ourselves kindly and we treat ourselves as being dumb just because we may have made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing when we make a decision. For instance, when Dorothy left Auntie M, she blamed herself for being so heartless to tear away from her family. And she had to face a mirror of her own self-judgment, which is the Tin Man who believed he had no heart.
Right.
And she also, you know, she came out of the barnyard and got so guilt-ridden after meeting Professor Marvel, she turned and she went back. And, of course, she had to face her cowardly lion because where was her strength? Where was her courage? We all have these aspects of ourselves, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, the Scarecrow, and they are reflections of different things on the inside of us that are kind of playing and complementing each other and at the same time warring with each other at times.
Right. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the path that we choose in life. Is we find those things along the way, and we either stick with what we have or we change our lives along the way. You know, you could just sit back and take what's coming at you, or you can change it. I always have a motto. I have a motto. Life is easy. The choices we make it hard. I've always said that my entire life.
Yes. If you make choices, you're putting your will into a system. And the system has to adjust to you, you know? And it's a very powerful, powerful spiritual gift. It's the gift of will and choice. You know, and it's us, and also we have to express our spirit. You know, in the story, Dorothy is continuously followed by Toto. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's her totem animal. It represents her spirit.
Right.
Toto in Latin means all. You know, it's all of the spirituality that is embedded in us is our Toto. And in the beginning of the story, we notice that Toto is being imprisoned in the bicycle seat basket of Elvira Gulch. She's trying to squelch Dorothy's Toto, her spirit, and imprison its spirit in the basket. And she says, I'm going to destroy him.
Right.
And this is what happens to us in life. Many, many people, good people, institutions, religions, they all want to try to keep your spirit in a little bit of a box. And you don't want to do that. You want to always keep Toto fierce and, you know, yapping and barking and courageous. And he's the most courageous character in the entire story.
Right, right, right. And I have a feeling that once you read this book, you'll never look at the characters the same way again in the movie.
Well, that's what I'm told. People are reading it and going, oh, my God, I got to go back and I got to see the movie. I got to read the book. I didn't know that was about it because they were just kind of beguiled by the colors and the Lullaby League and the, you know, the lollipop gear and all the mayors and all the characters and Glinda. But they actually have deep psychological and spiritual and mystical archetypal, to use Jung's term, archetypal meaning. And it's really fascinating. You know, this book is just the starter for what's really in that story.
Right. Well, it sounds fabulous. It really does. I have to check it out. But I'm very interested in the Six Fix. I mean, because it's like, how do we control what is going on in our country right now, and you're saying that in the six picks we can somehow personally control that. I mean,
oh yes, you can,
because we have to do something about it. So we really can't, but we have to. So by not paying attention or caring and focusing on our own spirituality, are we pushing aside the country? I mean, I'm confused.
Well, you look. Let me simplify it, okay?
Just as
there was a spiritual path that Dorothy had to go on, which is human, we don't have problems in our country that are political. That's not true. We don't have economic problems. That's not true either. We don't have racial problems. That's not true. What we have is one thing, human problems.
Yeah,
we have problems that are created by human beings who don't understand how to use that very thing you, Joanne, just mentioned, which is the free will that we have to just state what we need and get what we want out of life, because then we are asserting our will into things and things get a little bit messed up. Now, the reason it gets messed up, and I'm glad you observed that, is because we're not living in a vacuum. You see, we have this fantasy in America that it's just me, whatever I do or whatever you do, it's just us. It's our freedom alone. And that's not true, okay? But it's not the groups either. Our Constitution is very, very clear. The Declaration of Independence is very clear. It's not. We have rights endowed by the Creator, meaning a mystery beyond anything we can conceive of. We aren't given rights by government or religion or by any other person. We don't give it to ourselves. It's a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift. Now, that means either we learn how to exercise our spiritual gift in harmony with the design of this world, which is a very spiritual design, or we are going to be swimming upstream. And every single problem we have in our personal life, every single problem we have in our family life, in our marital life, in our community, and our nation, is because we did not use our free will in a way that is in alignment to how this world works.
Right.
Now, I know that sounds a little strange, and it sounds maybe sometimes a little spooky, but let me simplify it. If
Please.
I put my hand in a flame, my hand gets hot.
Right.
And if I keep my hand in the flame, it burns.
Correct.
Well, that's because I have been designed to have skin that's very soft and that can't take the flame, and I have nerves in my skin that let me know the flame is hot.
Right.
Well, there are spiritual laws that govern how a country operates and how people operate. Let me give you an example. In 2008, we had a financial crisis that was devastating.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we had that crisis not because we had an economic problem. We had that crisis because we had the result of a stupid way of thinking.
Yes.
We created an investment out of defaulted mortgage loans. And when the value of that investment was finished, the whole economy tumbled because it was based on defaulted investment loans. There's a spiritual law in life.
Right, right.
Actions have to enhance life. Life and the value of keeping life going and beautiful and abundant and happy, that's a spiritual law. When that investment used up its spiritual law, paid for a few educations for some Wall Street investors, it tumbled. Every single time we do not think and speak and act in a way where we're seeking good for all life, we are operating in the opposite direction to the way this world is designed, and we will sow and reap a mess.
When did we
don't have problems.
When did this country become so selfish? When did you notice the change?
Well, we were never like this. It's always had a bit of a selfish streak because, remember, we are the first experiment in large-scale democracy and freedom.
Right.
I mean, let's cut ourselves some slack. Democracy, representational democracy with freedom for individuals, is a relatively new experiment. It's a little over 200-something years,
mm-hmm.
and we are still on a learning curve on that one. So, you know, there are always difficulties. And when you express your own self and you're trying to make your way in life, there is a little selfishness that's a part of it. But my personal experience at my ripe old age is that we took a major turn down after the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
We had I'm social responsibility officer, by the way, for the Patton Foundation.
Yeah. How'd you get involved in that? I was going to ask you that.
Some Benedictine nuns who were very good friends of mine introduced me to the granddaughter of General Patton,
yeah.
and she was connected to an abbey in Connecticut. And you know, after World War II, when we did what was good and clean, it was as close as you could get to a clean war, where we were actually saving the world from almost pure evil.
Right.
We came back. And we had actually inherited the mantle for Western civilization. And we mm-hmm. built, at that time, the most dynamic, industrious economy that the world had ever seen, because we were spiritually healthy. And
mm-hmm.
the Six Fix is about that. Learn the boundaries of how life works. Learn to be spiritually healthy. It's very simple. And then we will be a stronger America. Well, after World War II, we were pretty spiritually healthy, and then we lost it after Vietnam when we got full of ourselves and full of our power, and we started to assert our power in a way that was not clean and good.
Mm-hmm.
And we sowed and reaped, you know, as Jesus says, sow and reap. We sowed and reaped and sowed and reaped. Disaster after disaster, because we were not seeking good correctly and we were out of alignment to the way life works. Another way to say that is we are operating outside of God's commandments. If you're religious and you're biblical, you can use
right.
those religious terminologies. So if you're not sowing and reaping good, well, you're going to get back, put in the system. It's
right.
This is not a mystery.
Now,
Six Fix is a spiritual guideline to getting us to learn the fundamental spiritual lessons that are needed so that we can have health, spiritual health in our politics, in our economics, in our religion, in our families, and raising our children, and bring back the light of America.
Now, why don't you go to Washington, take this book, and hand it out, and tell these people to sit down and read this damn book?
Or give something. And I am.
Oh, really?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I cannot go into details yet, but some very, very, very high level meetings have been planned.
It has to be.
I'm very honored that I have gained access to these offices, and I'm very, very flattered, very honored. And that's my mission because, you know, it took me a long time to put together my understanding of the Bible and my understanding of the 1960s and the hippie philosophies and my understanding of spirituality and my understanding of moral law and legal systems and be able to put it down in a simple book for everyone. It's really a simple book.
Right.
But it's profound because it shows the spiritual boundaries that we have to make our decisions by. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, Joanne, you know, people think that we don't have a democracy now. We have an opinionocracy.
We don't have a democracy now.
No, we have an opinionocracy. Every
Tom,
Dick, and Harry and every Jane, Kate, and Louise, you know, let's not be sexist and blame all the guys.
Right, right, right.
where everyone has an opinion, and it's my opinion versus your opinion versus my opinion, and this is spiritually sick.
Right, but it doesn't help that we're being lied to, though, hon. It doesn't help that we're being lied to like this, and it's being allowed. That's what gets me. Help me, please, Michael. I love my country. I love it. Help me overcome what is going on, because I can't stand to see what is happening to our country right now. How do I overcome
this? Well, you have to change you.
But I can't sit back and just watch. It's like I
don't want you to sit back and watch. I don't want you to sit back and watch. So I'm going to tell you the first thing I want you to do.
Please.
Okay?
I need help.
I want you to take responsibility for what you do. I want you to sow and reap correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you watch what happens to your life when you follow the six fix. And you notice the good that comes in your life. And I'm telling you, there is a spiritual power that takes place which will transmit from you to other people right before your eyes.
But by doing that, am I ignoring what's going on? I mean, I care very much watching the decline of the greatest country in the world.
But can you do it all?
No, of course I cannot. You know that.
So, all right. So then let me ask you a question. What did life, you mentioned life. It's one of my favorite words.
Mm.
What has life brought you? I'm not talking about watching TV and feeling upset because they're showing you everything in the entire world. Has life brought you personally any challenges that have been put onto your plate for you to deal with?
No.
You didn't have any challenges from COVID or anything like that where you had to actually think how you were going to act in the situation?
Honestly, the only way I've been affected, I've been working remotely, which I've grown to like a lot. I mean, but I do want to get back to normal. I want life back to normal. However, I'm not harping on it. I'm not harping on it. You know, when the day comes that I have to go back to work, I go back to work and life goes back to normal in that sense. But I mean, other than that, no, everything's been fine for me. I've adapted to being stuck in the house. I'm an extrovert, but I guess my introvertedness has come to play, which has been fine for me. This has not affected me one bit. No, I enjoyed the quiet of people not being out. I don't know. I've handled it differently than other people. Some people are freaking out over this. I mean, I don't have a problem wearing a mask. I mean, this is my God.
Yeah.
People have gone to war and died for our country. They asked you to wear a freaking mask. What is wrong with you? I mean, you understand? I mean, I just don't get it.
I do understand. Look, this is what I do. Everyone has to choose. Life brings me challenges.
For instance, I can be
in a supermarket and someone does something to me. And it really upsets me, and I notice that the person has something wrong with them. Maybe they're overweight or something like that. And I notice that on the inside of me, I judge the person not because of what they did, but because of the overweight, and I'm cruel on the inside. Where I stop myself,
right,
and I change. I start to do the six fix teaches to, in everything you think, say and do, seek good. Okay, that's the formula. In everything you think, say and do, seek good. Now, that's the fundamental change that has to take place spiritually in the United States. In everything you think, say and do. And we have to teach people to do that. The media. Teach the media. There is no journalistic standard anymore.
There's no standard for anything anymore.
You turn on the television and they're reporting news, but it's not news. It's editorial opinion.
Right.
Okay? We don't separate opinion from news anymore. And we don't separate news and opinion from entertainment anymore. And that's a serious problem. That's going to end when people get together and they boycott TVs. and TV shows because they don't approve of the standards. People have to get together to do that. But you also have to be aware of the fact that there are no journalistic standards.
Well, so it's obvious.
It's obvious, but you know, I'm seeking here a grassroots turn of heart and mind. And you are right. You know, there was a time when we were not as selfish and not as belligerent to each other, and we have gotten carried away with our individuality.
Well, we've been given a license. We've been given a license from the highest man in the world to talk to people like they're worthless nobodies and idiots and stupid. I knew there were not bright people in this country. I never knew how many. That's all I have to say. I don't know.
No, I understand. And I want to be really clear. I am not red. I am not blue.
Me neither.
I think there are major problems in both parties. But I will say, even though there are things that I liked about certain policies on the part of President Trump, I liked them. I liked the reduction of corporate rates. I didn't like the fact that there were no restrictions on rebuying stock. That I didn't like. But I liked the reduction of corporate rates. I thought the tone and manner was not necessary. It didn't accomplish anything. On the other hand, that I do have to be honest, I liked President Obama. I thought it was an extraordinary change in the U.S. But sometimes his language was so controlled and so nuanced and so delicate that I didn't understand fully what he was talking about. It's almost like we went from one style of president to the complete opposite. And I kind of like the tone and manner of the current president, because he has the directness of Donald Trump and some of the grace of President Obama at the same time. I like the fact that it has the goodness of both. I'm not endorsing every single one of his policies. I'm talking about from the standpoint of style. I like the directness, but not the gruffness.
I like
the measuredness of President Obama, but I don't like the kind of intellectual obtuseness that sometimes President Obama had. I think there are good sides and bad sides to everyone. We're all human beings.
The problem
in this country is that we have this crazy idea that there are people who are right and people who are wrong.
Psychologists have said that the reason we are the way we are and have taken to the way they have been spoken to in the last 4 years, I'm not mentioning names because I'm not a political person myself. Honestly, if we don't have to talk about politics, then that there's not a problem. But now we talk about politics every day. Everybody's talking about politics. We obviously have a problem. But anyway, I lost my train of thought.
Is not political. Our problem is human and spiritual.
Yes.
We are not operating in a way that is harmonious with the way life is designed. There are certain life-centered priorities that are built into the design of this world.
Right.
And if you don't do it, just as in the issue of the 2008, you know, economic crash, if you don't operate according to correct life-centered boundaries, you will sow and reap disasters.
You pay the price.
So
we have to
make America spiritually healthy again, and then we'll be stronger.
Spiritual healthcare. That's what we need to do. Everybody needs to get their minds in order here. I don't understand. And like I said, what I was leading up to here, that psychologists have said that the reason that so many people are the way they are now is because they were always like this behind closed doors. But when you've got somebody who just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding ridiculous lies and you believe it. I mean, if it's the same thing as Hitler. You keep saying the same thing over and over. They're going to believe it. I mean, look at what he said about the Jews. My God, they didn't do anything wrong, but everybody hated them because he said hate them. You know, I mean, this is not a political show. It really is not. I don't get political ever. I don't talk about politics, but I need help for me on how I can separate myself from watching my country deteriorate and die. That's how what I feel. And like you said, I need to focus more on me, but I'm a very caring person. I care about others. I specifically care about this country. And to see what's going on, it is killing me. I'm sorry. It is killing me. And let these idiots keep talking the way they want. They won't get reelected. Let them do what they want. There'll never be a Republican in the House again, ever again, because of what's going on.
Look, let me tell you something. I am very, very optimistic.
I'm very
optimistic. And the reason I'm optimistic is that I do know that there are spiritual guidelines and laws that are built into the way things operate. America is a spiritually based country. Our government system was based on the Enlightenment. That was a spiritual system. The free enterprise system was spiritual. You should read Thoreau. You should read Emerson and Ben Franklin. It's a spiritual system, and it operates a certain way. Now, the reason we're not having political problems, we're having human problems from human beings that don't know how the world works. And the reason I'm optimistic is that the world is bigger than us.
Right.
And sooner or later, we're going to create more and more problems until we get a wake-up call. And things will turn. It will turn for the better. But what I would like to do is shorten the amount of suffering. You know, there's never been an evil empire that has ever lasted for any long amounts of time.
Right.
You know, the Soviet Union collapsed in 70 years. Hitler didn't last. The world, the dice are weighted to good. That's why you have to seek good, because the dice is weighted to good in the way this world is designed.
Right.
Okay? So I'm optimistic completely. I just would like to shorten some of the suffering and the needless pain and the confusion and get America spiritually healthy again, because I know when that takes place, what takes place is what religious people call divine providence and grace and protection, hashgacha in Hebrew, where you have a grace and a power that comes in to help. You get wind in your sails.
Right.
And we are so spiritually defective right now that we don't have that spiritual power. You know, God is against us. Okay?
Well,
we can
pump
ourselves up with rah, 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 but we're not working with the way this world is designed by God.
Right. And I'm very optimistic that people, if they read your book, things will change. So people pick up in the sixth fix. You need to get it, because I need to get a copy myself, because I'm dying to read it to see how it will help me. Because and then again, you're talking about people who are religious. You've got these supposed Christians who don't have a problem with I don't want to get into politics. They don't have a problem with this people being sexual maniacs and whatever, but yet they have a problem with somebody telling the truth. I mean,
look, it's not because they're Christian. It's hard to be human. It's very, very hard to be a human being and learn how to live.
Right, but how could you be a Christian?
Very simple guidelines.
How could you say you're Christian and accept the fact that you have sexual deviance involved, lying to your face, and yet a woman who is telling the truth to you gets let go, but a man who had sex with underage girls is still in office? I mean,
look,
and the Christians are fine with that.
Because people are sinners, people are hypocrites. It's a human problem. And yes, it's even worse for people who are devout and religious, because they claim the high road. So when, right. they, when something happens, it's a human defect, it's even more glaring. You know, I don't even want to even point labels at different religious beliefs or anything like that. Because
neither do I.
I
just think it's ignorance. There's just so much ignorance going around. It's just ridiculous. But
and that is the purpose of the book.
Yes.
The purpose of the book is to teach the value priorities and the relationship priorities so we can have a life-centered country where we're making decisions that make life better.
Right.
That increase the good or God.
Well, we need to get this book out to everybody. Everybody needs to get this book. In the Six Fix, people, check it out. Where can people get it while we're talking about getting it?
It's the Six Fix, Spiritual Healthcare for a Stronger America. Your local bookstores, go to Amazon, go to Six Fix America, sixfixamerica.com. And don't forget Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road. Again,
right.
you can go to Soul Oz Soul Lessons, OzSoulLessons.com,
mm-hmm.
or go
mm-hmm.
to Amazon, your local bookstore. And thanks for at least giving me an opportunity to get out there and be heard and help make change.
Oh, with that, we need it desperately, desperately. I mean, if we don't change, we're destroying ourselves. So please, people, read both books, especially The Six Fix for the Country and Yourself and the Soul Lessons from The Wizard of Oz for yourself. But now I wanted to talk to you. Now, you're involved, like you said, in the patent
Foundation, the Patent Alliance.
Yes, the Patent Foundation.
In Europe.
Now, with what's going on with Israel and the Palestinians right now, I mean, what can we do to help them? I mean, you know.
Well, besides send them a lot of prayer, you know.
Obviously.
I'm not working through the Patent Alliance in the Middle East. I'm working through different other organizations and governmental groups. Look, you're dealing with a situation which is longstanding and is incredibly manipulated by powers that be, okay?
Right.
You know, you have some very, very difficult old angers. It's not a fast solution, but there are many positive signs, many, many positive signs. There is a new alliance that's taking place with moderate Arab nations and the state of Israel. That's a positive, stabilizing sign, okay? There's new kinds of dialogues that are taking place and new thinking. Yes, there are some things that are disrupting right now, and it's bursting out again. But, you know, it's not going to be Israel that solves the problem for Gaza or Palestinians that solve the problem for Gaza.
Right.
It's only going to take place when we realize that the violence is not going to function. Israel is here to stay, and we all work together. You know, I always say, you know, did you ever notice that when you're in New York, you can drive to New Jersey and build a house? And you're in New Jersey, you can drive New York and you don't have to go through the border checks because the laws in New Jersey are the laws in New York. Basically,
right.
they're respected. Well, I believe in what I have been working on is what I call a law for peace plan. I don't think the issue is territory. I think it's been upside down. I don't think the issue is territory. I think the issue is that the laws of whatever Palestine becomes and the laws of Israel have to be compatible, mutually compatible and respectful. So eventually people who are in Palestinian territory can drive without a border check into Israel and visit their sacred religious sites, and Israelis can drive from Israel to Palestine to visit their sacred religious sites. But we're not going to do this if we concentrate on territory.
Right.
Okay? I'm not an ultra-Orthodox Jew. Territory to me can be a little malleable. Okay. You know, we have to have a law for peace where whatever the state of Palestine is, that their laws are going to be compatible, good and true democratic and humanitarian laws, so that the nations can agree on being neighbors. Everyone right. talks about Israel versus Palestine, Palestine versus Israel. No one says this is what the nation of Palestine will represent and what we will be. I want to hear what their government is, okay? Because why can't you have Israelis who live in Palestinian territory?
Right.
Because they happen to like that place in the Holy Land. It's not just a matter of Palestinians living in Israel. The issue is law, a
right.
correct law that produces peace. I would also advise everyone to take a look at a different point of view, which is the Israeli-Palestinian Confederation that Joseph Avisar in Los Angeles has created, a very, very creative way for bringing Palestinians and Israelis to the table to talk grassroots movement in a way that allows it to work as an advisory capacity to all governments. So there are many creative ideas. I'm, again, a very optimistic person, provided we really want to have peace and goodness, we will have it. But if we're playing games and we have international nations that are supporting terrorist activities and we're having stubborn politicians that are making statements, political statements with the use of armaments, we're not going to get anywhere.
Right. We need to come together everywhere, here, there, everybody. Just come together, love each other. My God, it's like, I just can't.
It sounds a little idealistic, but honestly, I don't know much of a better solution. But the first
right.
stage of that is mutual respect. And
mm-hmm.
for me, it's what is the legal system here? What are the laws of this country?
Right.
And if the laws of any new Palestine are not compatible with humanitarian established international humanitarian guidelines,
right?
Well, that's a very scary thing. Now, I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying no one ever talks about it.
Right. That's just very frustrating.
I believe that you can have a marvelous, creative, inspired Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Another light to the nations. I really believe in that possibility.
Right, right.
And I want to see it take place because I believe that they can bring a tremendous light into the world on their own. And I think we have to help and focus up the possibility that this people can be virtuous contributors to the world, and let's get away from this victimization.
Right. Hmm.
And I think that's more important than focusing on war. Let's focus on truth, and let's focus on goodness. I guarantee you if we did that, this conflict could be solved very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know much about the situation there. All I know is it's been going on a very long time, like you said. And I just figured I'd ask you since you were a rabbi and your thoughts on it. But you're absolutely right. It's the same there as it is here. We need to come together.
Yeah. It's
just
too complicated to really do justice to it on this one, you know, thing. And I don't like soundbiting things that are
right.
very complex that need to be
sure.
done. I don't like to do that because it misrepresents
right.
it. But, you know,
right.
They are still, from my point of view, the half-brother of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are Abraham's child.
Right.
And I see them as my half-brother.
Right.
Okay? And no differently than my wife's child from her first marriage knew my children as half-brothers, but we were one family. And that's my model.
Yeah, that's the way to live by. I mean, you know, it's just the way to live. I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Let's move on from the getting me all crazy. Now, Gillette, I love that commercial. I think it's still on, isn't it? Gillette, the best the man could get. What are some other commercials you had done?
It's still there in like 100, more than 100 countries around the world.
And what other commercials have you done that we would know?
Oh, some famous Apple computer commercials many years ago.
Oh.
And one of them won at Cannes Film Festival. It's a very amazing thing to have created that campaign, and it's still around. Gillette, you know, I remember going to Italy many years ago at Milan University, I was speaking to about 2,000 young Catholics, and they started to sing the jingle in Italian. It was really great.
Oh, how funny is that? That must have been like, wow,
it was
right?
Funny.
Wow.
Now you know, it was very funny.
Go ahead.
No, what were you saying?
No, you were going to say something. I didn't want to interrupt you. I apologize.
No, I was just, also I went to South Africa to visit some long-lost family members that I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing to just turn on the television and there it was in South Africa as well.
No, that's crazy. Well, what I was going to ask you was, you have three kids. What path have they chosen in life now? That, I mean, with the way you live, your wife is an artist as well. So what is the path that they've chosen?
All right. Well, the first son, was my adopted son from my wife's first marriage, unfortunately passed. I'm not eliminate him from my books. So whenever I write my books, I say I have three children because I know that he's up in heaven.
Right.
So,
I'm so sorry.
He died at a young age, and it was kind of sad. And that
was
his
I'm
path
sorry.
To be an angel and clean up the stars for us. So that was his path, and it's a pretty good job, I hear.
Yeah.
And then my other son, Adam, is a molecular biologist. He works
for
Endopharmaceutical. And he's very, very happy and very, very scientific.
Wow.
My daughter, Zoe, actually, as we speak, on the, I think it's the 27th and the 28th, she's going to have a baby, her first baby.
Oh, sweet. Congratulations.
It's going to be a little girl, so I'm about to be a grandfather.
Very nice. Congratulations.
So, she plans on, as she says, honoring motherhood by being more stay-at-home, so she's going to work part-time. But right now she's been doing recreational resort sales. So she lives in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Well, I got to say, the way you live your life, you must be totally at peace and happy. I mean, because you are so calm, cool, and collected. And I mean, I'm over here ranting, and you're calming me down. So
look,
I just get so frustrated.
Happy. I'm very happy. If you talk to my wife, she'll tell you. I see him put his pants on one leg at a time, you know. But I am very happy, and I am at peace, because I will tell you, the more you seek spiritual knowledge and the more you seek to align yourself to the way you are supposed to live, and the more you seek to bring your scarecrow and your tin man and your cowardly lion together on the inside of you, the more life reflects your inner world. And even though it's turbulent on the outside, your Velcro on the inside is nice and clean, and the fuzzballs don't stick to it.
Right.
So the
Very
more you
nice.
Clean up, the more you clean up your inner life, believe it or not, the more your experience of life gets nicer. Even if it's not perfect out there,
right.
It doesn't stick to you as much. It doesn't hurt you as much because your Velcro isn't taking the fuzzballs.
Right. Well,
so that's the value of spiritual work, okay?
Right.
And the more you feel that, the more you do the spiritual work and the fuzzballs don't stick, the more calm and peaceful you are, the better you feel in life, the more you radiate that kind of love you were talking about to other people, and that's how you change the world.
Right. Wow.
It radiates.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a very happy person myself. I mean, of course I have issues like everybody else, but I mean, I don't let harp on it. And I'm talking about personal, you know, I'm not the world. I can't control the world. Obviously nobody can, but you know, me in general, I'm good. You know, it's just this craziness going around me that is affecting me, and I'm trying so hard not to. And
well,
like you said, I need to stop watching TV. I think I need to stop watching TV.
I'm going to tell you what to do tomorrow.
Yes. Okay.
I want you, every single person you meet, on the inside of you, they don't even have to know you're doing it. You don't even have to say it. on the inside of you, every person you meet, say a nice thing on the inside of you about them.
Mm-hmm.
Compliment them on the inside of you, on the inside of your inner voice. Spend one day saying wonderful and kind and nice things inside you to every single person and every single thing that takes place for one day, and watch the change that takes place. The minute you start to change and move in the direction of thinking and saying and doing good, which is the basic 6-6, you will notice the shift, and keep doing it and get that spiritual momentum going. And you will notice that life is better, and the people are still on the TV screaming, but life is better, and you're not getting as sick because you're taking this in, which makes them spread.
Right. That's
you're
true.
You're letting it in.
Right.
You need a firewall, and that firewall is called love.
Yeah.
So put up a firewall.
Yes, I will. And now the title, The 6-6, is there 6 steps in there or something? What is the meaning?
Yes.
Okay.
There are value priorities and relationship priorities. And that's how you make decisions. The value priorities, we put health first, peace second, freedom third, wisdom. We need wisdom fourth. Mm. We put expressing our full potential fifth, and we seek prosperity sixth, health, peace, freedom, wisdom, the expression of our full potential, and then prosperity, which includes lots of money if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And we in relationship priorities, we put ourselves first. We got to take care of ourselves.
Right, because once you do all that,
the spiritually correct way.
Right, because once you do all that, the prosperity comes in the end.
And then you take care of yourself, but you seek good for yourself, another, all others, future generations, all life and creation. And since no one is perfect, you continuously improve. Continuously improve. That's called relational priorities. You put them together. You know how to make decisions where you're in alignment to the way life works for good. The way life works for good. And good, well, that's where they get the word God from. So I wish everyone out there an experience of good, an experience of God. God's blessings, if you want to use religious terms.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, Michael, I can't thank you enough for the conversation. You definitely put my mind at ease to some degree talking to you about this. And I am definitely getting the 6-6. I have to get it. I have to get it because I have to see more of what we've just talked about. And everybody needs to get it. Based on what we're talking about, if everybody read the 6-6, I think maybe we could heal ourselves, people. And God, I hope you're going to Washington soon to help.
I am actually going to Washington. I'm going to Washington next week. So wish me luck and keep you prayed up.
I will. I will. Everybody, Michael Shivak, check out his new book, The 6-6. And Soul Lessons from the Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road, and Let's Heal Ourselves, people. We need to heal ourselves and quick, because if we don't, I don't know where we're going. Please help us all. Everybody help yourself so we can help everybody else. So that's what I'm getting from this.
God bless.
That's what I'm getting. God bless you. Good luck with your granddaughter. Congratulations. Good luck with the book. And Michael, what a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a good
evening. Please come back.
Anytime.
Anytime. You let me know.
I will.
All right. Thank you. Everybody, bye. Michael Shivak.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. What a pleasure. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, man, folks, I'm telling you, something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. Like I said, I don't care about politics. I never did in my life. But to see our country just where we're going is not good, people. And if you think it is good, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what you're seeing, what you're listening to. It's not right. It's not good. Whatever. So the six fix, I was going to tell him, this is crazy that I've had this thought that with our government situation, that you know how we went into Germany and we took care of the Nazis? I think these other countries should come and take care of us like we did. We need to be freed. I feel like I need to be freed because I'm not liking what is happening. So it's a crazy thing, I know. It's a crazy thought, but I don't know. Without us doing what we need to do, we are not going anywhere. We're going nowhere fast, folks. So greatest country in the world. Yeah, hello. Anyway, Michael, thank you again. Check out his books, definitely The Six Fix, to help everybody and for yourself. Soul Lessons from The Wizard of Oz, How to Follow Your Yellow Brick Road, all spiritual self-healing, self-help books. And based on what we just talked about, Michael needs to get to Washington quick and hand those books out and give these people these books. The whole country needs the damn book. Anyway. Oh, God. Got me all riled up. Sorry. Tomorrow, I can't wait. I cannot wait. Paul going to be here. He's from the Seeds, Pushing Too Hard. You're pushing too hard. Anyway, he will be on with us tomorrow. We're going to be playing a version of Pushing Too Hard that has rarely been heard, and I'm honored that they're letting me play it, and I cannot wait to share it with you. I played it last night. I loved it, and also new music from the band The Seeds. Yeah, after all these years, new music. Can you believe it? So cool. I'm so excited. That's tomorrow, the 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then on the 23rd of Sunday, Patty Parks, she's a blues singer-songwriter. She will be on with us at 8 p.m. So we've got some rocking shows for you coming up. And then I got to get the information on this for you guys for the 27th. We have, let me see where it is. Tell you exactly. We've got a couple of folks coming up from a festival that's going to be taking place. And I've got a couple of the entertainers coming on, and I haven't had a chance to put the information up on the calendar, but it will be up there this weekend. So where is it? Kelly. Do you remember that, guys? Oh, God, was it Cheers was the show. And Woody Harrelson was dating a girl named Kelly. And he said he wrote a song for her. And and she goes, okay, what is it? He goes, Kelly. Anyway, so here we go. I got the information in front of me. It's the first annual Run for the Right Festival with live bands. And it is a night of Southern rock. And we're going to have a couple of folks on with us from that festival, and that's pretty cool. I think Kimberly Dawn's coming back. I think she's one of the folks that are going to be. Yes, that's right. Kimberly Dawn's going to be coming back. I love her. We had a great time when she was on. Scott Gronsky and Six Gun Sal. So pretty cool. We're going to be playing some new music. It's new to me, but we are going to be playing some music. So it's going to be really cool. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to get that. I'm going to have the website this weekend, hopefully. I got to get that information over there so we can get that up to you guys. So anyway, we have a great show for you tomorrow again. And again, Michael Shebach, thank you. Thank you for coming on tonight. I can't thank you enough for talking to me. You kind of talked me off a ledge. So I am definitely picking up the Six Fix, and everybody should get a copy. Anyway, thank you to our sponsors, the Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWB Wines in South Africa, Teas for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oka Harbor, New Jersey. Take a Break from Cancer.org, for Pete's Sake. Cloyson Designs in New Jersey. Think Big Picture LLC in New York. The Observer Newspaper in Kearny, New Jersey. If you've been looking for my article, I apologize. I've just been beyond myself. I just have no time. So I just haven't been able to write anything for you guys. I'm so sorry. But I'm going to try this week. Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey. Go check out those dogs. They're open. They got the outdoor seating out there where it's really cool. It's really, they got a really retro setup there. It's really cool. I love it. GenieBottles.com. They're actually having an estate sale over by that way. If you go to Joey Max in Harrison, New Jersey, you can ask them where they're doing the estate sale. If you aren't into cool collectible items, you will find it at this estate sale. So pretty neat. GenieBottles.com. If you want to get yourself a I Dream of Genie bottle, go to GenieBottles.com. H21 hand sanitizer and Michael's Arts and Crafts, Gamefly. I mean, the list is huge on these new sponsors we have. They're just not up on the website yet. I apologize. We're working on it. Like I said, again, I'm just been overwhelmed. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. Again, Michael Shivak. Take care of each other, people. Come on. Let's be kind to everybody again. What happened? Be kind. Let's love each other. Come together right now. Come on, folks. Be kind. We'll see you tomorrow with Paul Kopf from The Seeds. Take care. Bye-bye.